somehow it didn't record, so I'm doing it again. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. The operator standing by. We've got Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. We got there in the end.
We got there in the end. The first time around, I said something about Bill Gates. I thought he was in it for the charity, but he's going to eliminate Skype just because, just because he's screwing with us.
Well, probably Donald Trump's tariff policy probably took about, I don't know, half a trillion off his net worth, so he's got to recoup it some way.
So Elon Musk, he is leaving Doge, apparently, in order to salvage his auto company, which is being destroyed by people who are mad at him being associated with Donald Trump. So there you go.
Yeah, Trump, he's just like, it's so, he's so chaotic, and, you know, it's very difficult to get a grip on the man. You know, who is Donald Trump? Does anybody really know? Does Donald know?
So, I know this one guy who says that there are actually two Donald Trumps, not figuratively, but literally. There are two Donald Trumps in there. Like, one is really based and the other is a complete sellout, and they're at war with each other. And there's people who believe that. So, I mean, I would say, like, figuratively, there's a bunch of Donald Trumps, at least two Donald Trumps. And they all have the same earlobes, by the way.
No way.
Yeah, exact same earlobes, which is a telltale sign.
Well, they're getting more sophisticated with this kind of replica stuff then, because the earlobes up until now was their Achilles heel, really. So they've dealt with that problem.
Earlobes are the hardest substance in the human body. They're like 10 times as hard as teeth, 20 times as hard as bone. There's nothing you can do to change the shape of an earlobe. I mean, you're stuck with the shape of your earlobe. They can't be pierced. They can't be stretched. There's nothing you can do to them. And it's a telltale sign of who's who.
Yeah, well, you know, let's look at two aspects of Trump, which is ostensibly irksome, because on the one hand, he's the alpha male who has tremendous resilience and stamina that got him through all the lawfare, that got him through the White House, back into the White House. And then he allows himself to get bullied and manipulated by a bunch of, in quotes, neocons, those who are on the payroll of Jewish power and Jewish interests. You kind of bully him and just compromise him. You know, so on the one hand, he's this big, tough guy, but he can't seem to, you know, have the testicular fortitude to tell people in his own administration and those around him what he's going to do and where they can go if they don't like it. And by the way, that's why his base voted for him. They don't want these wars. And apparently, like most people, they want a decent economy. And Trump better be careful, because the midterms are coming up. And I think there's already some unrest, if I'm reading things correctly.
Well, yeah, midterms. You're already hearing people saying that the Republicans are likely to lose seats in the midterms. Do they have to? I don't know. Will they?
See. Well,
I don't know.
These tariffs are not good for... It's not just going to affect rich people. We've discussed this before. It's going to cause a lot of layoffs. It's a tax on goods or inflation, whatever way you want to look at it. So, I mean, he's already backtracked a lot on that anyway, and then he had the exemptions and stuff. But the damage is done, I think, with China. So, you know, he really needs... And then you got people like this guy, Pete Hegseth, and things like that. You know, there's another leaks and stuff going on. And, you know, they're playing the, you know, the fake news media attacking them. I'm not saying there isn't some truth to that, but, I mean, this guy is just in over his head. He has no business being in that position, you know? He's unprofessional. In fact, the whole administration seems to be shot through with just a lack of professionalism, you know? It's like John Mersheimer said, you know, Trump doesn't value expertise. I mean, they're just... And Doug McGregor said, you know, if you're going to appoint clowns, you're going to end up with a circus, when he was talking about Hegseth. I mean, that guy doesn't belong in that job, you know?
Yeah. There's a problem.
Sorry, go ahead. The problem is, I think Trump is trying to get non-establishment type people in as much as he can, because all you ever get is these people pulling the United States, you know, particularly the Israeli lobby and Israel Zionist interest, constantly trying to pull America into one war after the next. And, you know, we're seeing this with Iran again. And, you know, they just, the Americans, I think, are, you know, you guys are starting to get wise to the problem with Israel. And, you know, people like Carson and others are not so keen on Israel these days. And the genie's kind of out of the bottle. You had that poll where it said 50% of Americans now don't support Israel and, you know, their policy in Gaza. But I think it was a more widespread thing about Israel. You know, American firsters are realizing that Israel is just a parasite, and it loves to have United States money, which could be used for Americans and their soldiers to go and die for their wars. But yet there are those within the administration who are so deeply embedded in there that just cannot seem to tolerate any kind of peace. And in typical Jewish-inspired fashion, just can't get along with anyone. They have to be subjugating everyone, whether it's Russia, whether it's China, whether it's Iran. They just can't get along with anyone. Look what happens when you give them a little bit of real estate in the Middle East, and then they blame everybody else. I don't know where you heard, you know, this spokeswoman for Israel recently, but they just live. I think these people are so disingenuous and so satanic that they actually convince themselves about this. I mean, she's blaming Iran for everything, including the Mexican drug cartels and you name it. I mean, they just live in denial. They are
Iran is the enemy of the world. They're the enemy of the world, and Israel's on the front line. And she was asked specifically about Israel's nuclear weapons, and while she didn't, I don't think she explicitly acknowledged them. She was saying that, what was she saying? Israel has, you know, they've never invaded anybody. And then did she throw in without cause or something like that? We're not a threat to anybody. Iran is a threat to everybody. They're a threat to the world. Israel's not a threat to anybody. We've never done any harm to anybody without provocation, or, you know, it was really, really, either she's completely delusional, or is just the most doesn't care lie. I mean, she lies and doesn't care. It's hard to know.
I sometimes think these people are just so beyond anything, you know, remotely capable of the truth. I mean, Netanyahu's incapable of telling the truth. The whole Israel project and all their spokespeople and everything else. And by the way, that guy Zelensky's the same, another Jew. We'll get to him in a minute. But they just live in delusions. I mean, they are very sick people. You know, whether they believe it or not, and they know they're lying, you know, or whatever, I sometimes think that they are so far gone that they've gone past even acknowledging their own guilt. They literally pick someone like Iran, and they just export all their own iniquity and filth of soul onto an external enemy, so they can, so they don't have to own any of their own crap and their own, you know, odious, immoral, you know, sickness and iniquity. Because I don't know, maybe it's too much for them, but that's what they do. It's, they do it all the time.
And by the way, when they're not vilifying Iran, who are they vilifying? White people.
Yeah, I mean, these people are really, really dangerous. I mean, something's got to be done with them. It's just like, you know, you look at history, they've been a problem for everybody, you know. Even when you look at the Romans and anybody else who had to deal with them as a peoples, I mean, they were just the most unruly, difficult people, you know. There's something fundamentally wrong with these people, notwithstanding, you know, the likes of, you know, people like, what's his name? Max Blumenthal.
Norman Finkelstein, Max Blumenthal, Jeffrey Sachs.
I mean, at least they're like, whatever you think of them, at least they're not absolutely insane. And, you know, for example, the Israelis, initially they had put up a post with condolences for the Pope, and then they deleted it because they hate him, and of course they hate Christianity. You know, this whole Christian Zionist thing has got to go away too. I mean, it's an oxymoron and it's an abomination, quite frankly. They don't seem to understand that, you know, Israel hates Christians. You can get arrested. If you spread the gospel, you know, these Christian Zionists go over there, don't they see it? You know, it's commonplace where if you're out there spreading the gospel in Israel, they will spit on you. And the IDF will intimidate you. You know, don't they know this? They go out there on their little trips. I suppose they're all kind of like, you know, they must plan it so people know, okay, we've got some Christian Zionists here, you know, curb it a little bit. But it must, you know, it has spilled over where there must be, the message must be getting, you know, these, you know, our great friends, the Jews in the Old Testament, well, we go over there, you know, and we talk about Jesus Christ and they spit on us. You know, it's just, you couldn't make it up, you know, it's such a,
well, even if they're not evangelizing, there are Christian clergymen, and it's their business to be over there because there's churches. The oldest churches in the world are in either Israel or in the occupied territories. These are the oldest churches in the world, and the lay people, not the lay people, well, the clergy. Who work there are just routinely spit on, even if they're not evangelizing, they're just going about their business. It's a routine thing.
Yeah, I mean, this Christianity in the West today is an absolute joke. I mean, even the Pope. Okay, the Pope dies. All right, you know, I've heard.
I need to ask you, Paul. What is the geopolitical significance of the Pope's death, of the Pope dying?
Even that question with the judge. What is the geopolitical implications, if any, for the death of the Pope? You know, even that question, it illuminates a deep misunderstanding of even what Christianity is. The Pope is not supposed to have anything to do, really, with geopolitical anything. He's supposed to be a spiritual leader of the Catholic Church. And unfortunately, he is not that. He wasn't that. And since Vatican II, where they completely basically obliterated anything which is of any worth and any consistency with Catholic doctrine, there hasn't been a pope since, really, that represents Catholicism. Including, you know, this Pope Francis. And sure, you know, lots of people have come out and, you know, he should be concerned when the mainstream media has been hailing him as a great man. And presumably most of the judge's guests are not Catholics. They seem to think he's a wonderful man as well. But this is a man who he's not, you know, he's not supposed to be a humanitarian. He's supposed to be the leader of the Christian church. Atheists, agnostics, all sorts of people are humanitarians, but they're not Christians. They're not the leader of the Christian church. And he is not consistent with anything that represents Catholicism. So why is he in that position? He could just be a humanitarian. And I'm not saying, you know, humanitarian causes are not important, or that they're, you know, the two things of Christianity are, you know, mutually exclusive necessarily. But his first priority is to be the leader of the Catholic Church and a spiritual leader. And he failed miserably in that. You know, this is a guy who supports gay marriage and, you know, abortion, I believe, and all sorts of stuff. So, of course, he's loved by, essentially, he's, well, you know, he's like a woke pope. And this is just like, serious Catholics are not interested in that. They really are not, you know. So, you know, he, in fairness to him, he did do, you know, he was quite supportive of the Palestinians. But a lot of the people that we would have nothing in common with otherwise are supportive of the Palestinians. And it kind of, you know, to my mind, the people who don't support the Palestinians are either hopelessly indoctrinated by Zionist propaganda, or they've got a serious moral issue, because it really is the lowest common denominator, really, when you boil it down, just like supporting the Palestinians, just to like the lowest common denominator of humanity, really. You know, so great that he supported the Palestinians, but no, he wasn't remotely anything consistent with a Catholic doctrine, and really, you know, Vatican II just obliterated anything Catholic, you know, really. And then he was just another step, you know, further away from Catholic doctrine, you know. So anyway, yeah, I mean, the Israelis hate him, but I'm not really sure why the judge was asking that question so much. You know, he's not supposed to be, you know, his first priority is not to be anything to do with you. You know, and I say that because the early Jews, when Jesus came along, well, what did they have? They were Zionists. They were like, you're going to restore the kingdom now? You're going to, you know, you're basically going to restore Israel. They thought the Messiah was going to come, and basically Israel was going to rule over everybody. And then it turned out that that wasn't really what Jesus had in mind. He wasn't a political leader, had no intentions or ambitions to be a political leader. And over a period of time, it kind of dawned on the early Christians, the disciples and things like that, that that's not what I'm about. So no Christian ought to be about those things either. Now, that doesn't mean you can't comment on them or be interested in them, but it's not really the priority, particularly for someone of the position of the so-called Pope, which obviously is someone who's not a Catholic. I don't even agree with the whole Catholic Church full stop. Doesn't mean I don't respect some Catholics. I was brought up as a Catholic, and you know, it was a blessing in many ways, but you know, I don't even agree with the whole system. And the, you know, look at it, for God's sake, look at the clothes they wear and the bells and whistles and the wealth and the altar, blah blah blah. It's so pharisaical. This is the type of thing that the Pharisees
you've written. Got the magic touch. Ooh. It makes me glow so much. It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm, it's like.
Hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now, or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
See you in my dreams. I'll see you in my dreams.
I'll see you in my dreams.
Hold you in my dreams. Charms. Lips that once were mine, tender eyes that shine, they will light our way, way, way tonight, baby, and I'll see you in my dreams, and I'll see you in my dreams.
I don't even agree with the whole system, and the, you know, look at it, for God's sake. Look at the clothes they wear, and the bells and whistles, and the wealth, and the old blah blah blah. It's so pharisaical. This is the type of thing that the Pharisees were into: all the wealth, and all their clothes, and all their garments, and. It really is. It's I don't even remember. Sorry to rant, but I remember when I was a child in my local chapel, in where I grew up, and the contrast between when you would hear, you know, the gospel, and if the priest was remotely spiritual, the homily, and you'd hear, you know, some stuff out of the gospel, and then you look at the surroundings: marble, gold, big grand windows. I'm like, you know, it just, to me, there was a conflict at an early age with that. It's like, what's wrong with this picture? This is not, you know, you're hearing about humble Jesus, God himself, born in a stables, you know, a poor man, arguing all the time with these religious leaders who wore these similar kind of garments. You know what I mean? Honestly, as I've gotten older too, and probably a little bit more spiritual, I have increasingly less time for it. I did go to Mass over the Easter weekend, but... only because, you know, the Protestant churches around here are even worse in terms of their wishy-washiness.
There's something I wanted to bring up. but I can't remember what it was.
I went on a rant, Patrick, but anyway, sorry.
Which is all fine. Well, let's. I'm just going to get back to Hegseth. So
let me ask you one question. When you asked about, when you brought up the question about what significance, if any, you know, obviously you were referring to the judge. Why did you bring that question up? Did that question irritate you when he was asking it, or how did you feel about that you brought it up?
He asks it over and over and over again. He asks it to every single person. And how much geopolitical significance is there supposed to be? Now, the judge himself didn't seem to like Francis, because the judge goes to Latin masses. He's a traditional Catholic, and he thought that the Pope was too woke and this and that. And he didn't think the Pope came out hardcore enough with the against the Israelis. So, I mean, good for Napolitano on those instincts and priorities. He was saying, two or three months ago, the Pope came out and called for an inquiry into whether there's genocide in Gaza. So there's that. What else? I don't know. So I brought it up. Part of the reason he was bringing up the Pope, though, was that he get to meet the Pope? He and Jeffrey Sachs they were sitting in a cafeteria with them.
Hey, Patrick.
Yeah.
The judge couldn't resist it. I told you. He always does it in a kind of as if it doesn't matter. But basically, he's telling you how important a person he is. Because I was in the Vatican, I was invited to the Vatican, and the Pope was sitting about two tables away from me. It has no relevance to anything, but he likes to throw those things in there to say I was invited to the Vatican, like he was invited to the Russian Day. He likes to let you know about those things. He does it like in passing.
I was at some event once, and I was like two tables away from Noam Chomsky, and I could have gone up to him and talked to him, and then I thought,
Yeah, I mean. Anyway, he likes to tell people about that. You know, I'm going to Rome to see the Vatican. I'm, you know, just to let you know how important I am. By the way, you should be glad that I even, you know, communicate with you. I heard him saying, I heard him, for example, saying, maybe I'm oversensitive, but I thought it was a little bit over the top or a little bit offensive. He said, I remember he was talking about the tariffs. You know, if Joe Sixpack in his pickup truck wants to buy a toaster, it's going to cost him $100 now instead of $50. Joe Sixpack with his pickup truck.
Here's Sixpack. Yeah, there's Sixpack. Yeah, Joe Sixpack was. I don't know if that was introduced by Sarah Palin. It was certainly popularized by her. Joe Sixpack and the hockey moms. Yeah, it's. It's pretty condescending.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Joe Sixpack might be smarter than you think, you know?
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender.
Truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Health Simple with Colorado Shieldy. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit. is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
Howdy, cousins. This is RBN host Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn, asking you to please support the Republic Broadcasting Network. Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voices to spread truth and relevant information, to gain a deeper understanding of the adversary, and to gain knowledge for survival against the gradual erosion of the Republic. But in order to sustain this incredible communications network, RBN needs your financial contributions. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 1-800-724-2719, or mail your donations to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It's pretty condescending.
Yeah, that's the way it is. Joe Sixpack might be smarter than you think, you know?
Yeah. Well, okay. So,
thanks, Seth.
So there's a couple of things. I mentioned a friend of mine who was saying that there's two Trumps, and he also talks about the Black Pope. And somebody was mentioning that a possible successor to Francis would be from Africa. Would that be the Black Pope? Is that the Black Pope everybody's talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. There is predictions that it'll be the first Black Pope or non-white.
Well, so there's that. Now, regarding Hegseth and his lack of qualification, this is the problem – that you get when you've had an establishment, and the establishment is so thoroughly under the domination of, in this case, of a Jewish power structure. And how do you find anybody? Let's just say we're talking about the Pentagon. Do you find a general, a retired general, a 3 or 4 star general? Well, haven't they been they've been kosher certified by the United States Senate, right? You get, what are you supposed to find? Like somebody who's got experience running a huge organization? So what, you get the chairman of or like the president of, I don't know, AT&T or some major corporation? Is that what you get? I mean, who could you possibly, or do you get somebody, a politician, who could you possibly get that isn't kosher certified but it has the kind of experience running some massive organization? So there's kind of a catch 22 there. Either you're going to get somebody who's part of the establishment, for the most part, you're going to get somebody who's part of the establishment, or you're going to get somebody who's that doesn't have qualifications. So it's kind of hard to know what to do. What Trump has done, though, of course, is if you look at the, you know, I was always complaining about the 6 out of the top 7 positions in the Biden cabinet being Jews. And then I was going through these same positions. And if you were to look at those same 5 positions in Trump's cabinet, like, you'd be talking about 5 out of 7 of those same positions, not Jews, but people thoroughly committed to Israel. Well, Hegseth, Rubio
himself, a Christian Zionist,
So you got Hegseth, Rubio, Bondi, who's throwing people out of the country. Both Rubio and Bondi throwing people out of the country if they question the genocide. And then you got the gay Secretary of Treasury. I don't even know what his name is, but he's all for sanctions against Russia and all this stuff. He's all for it. And then you got at Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, who, by the way, shot her dog because it acted too much like a dog. So she shot it. And then she bragged about it in a book as if that would qualify her for her to be Trump's running mate.
Yeah, I heard Blumenthal. I think it was Blumenthal the other day talk about somebody who used to be part of the Mossad or maybe military intelligence or something in Israel. Anyway, who's now going to be joining the administration? Which that is just shocking that that's allowed to happen. I can look it up and see, go over the details of it again a little bit more. But pretty sure it's just somebody who's an Israeli involved in Israeli intelligence.
Israeli born, somebody who so often when they're talking about dual citizens, they're talking about Americans who they suspect have gotten Israeli citizenship because they're Jewish. And often when people are referred to as dual citizens, that's not even the case. They're just Jews. But in this case, this is an Israeli woman who presumably has acquired American citizenship.
I can see that clearance like that. I think she was working for Mossad, if I'm correct. I mean, this is
the Israeli military.
Yeah, I mean, America needs to have some respect for itself. I mean, this is just beyond the pale, really, when you get to this point, where they can just leave the intelligence services from another country and just join the United States. I mean, there used to be a name for people like that. Not now, they don't worry about it. It's okay. But they used to call people like that, plants. And what's the word I'm looking for, Patrick?
Moles?
Yeah, moles, that type of thing, But the Israelis don't even have to sort of jump through those hoops or try and, be clandestine about it. They just waltz in there. Hi, where's my desk?
Yeah.
You couldn't make it up, honestly. It's just, it really is. I think the Americans are waking up to it, but the damage is so severe and the consolidation of power by these people is so vast and so
you know, complete in so many ways that it's just the awareness of it's not enough. I mean, it's, you know, it's like something that has to be done by people who have got the influence properly, you know. But, you know, Trump better be careful with his own base. And by the way, if America, I don't know whether the Israelis in their bloodlust ever consider these things. I suppose not. But if America starts a war with Iran, you know, that is going to be so detrimental to the United States, both economically and militarily, and I believe will be a genuine threat to their status on the world stage as a world power by the time they finish with that. Do the Israelis ever think about that? You know, what would they do then? I mean, they haven't got many friends in that region, and the only reason they get away with what they're allowed to do is because of the United States. But what happens if the United States is in bad shape? Have they thought about that?
The United States is in horrible shape, and it's
If it starts a war with Iran and, you know, diminishes its power to such an extent that they're not able to protect the Israelis anymore, you know?
The modus operandi of these people has just been to entrench themselves. That's not even a word. But ensconce themselves in a country and then just use it for whatever it's worth and leave it as a wreck and then move on to the next place.
Just a vampire. Just suck and suck and suck until there's nothing left.
I don't mean to say all these. I don't want to say hateful things about Jews, but no. I'm just trying to be accurate. And they're rootless. And Dr. Duke's always referencing this, both Alejandro Mayorkas and Merrick Garland in their Senate confirmation hearings back in 2021 when Biden appointed them to the cabinet. They both, when they were asked about their immigrant origins, in the case of Mayorkas, he himself was the immigrant. In the case of Garland, his parents were immigrants. They said, oh, yeah, we love America. Why? Well, because it's good for the Jews. They love America because it's good for the Jews. And when the Soviet Union was good for the Jews, they were very pro-Soviet. And when it stopped being good for the Jews, then, it took a while for them to figure it out. But that's where you got the neocons from. That's when you started getting the these Jews turning against the Soviet Union. And then when the Soviet Union was dismembered and you had a Russia that was taken over by oligarchs, Russia was getting great press in the United States, and all of a sudden, the stereotypical Russian woman wasn't a toothless hag in a headscarf, but was a beautiful blonde tennis player. I mean, everything changed, and then of course now Russia's back on the shite list. Is it on Schindler's List? I don't know. Is that what Schindler's List is?
Okay, well, when they finished sucking American the life completely out of America, the question is, where do they go after that? Because I think they're kind of running out of hosts.
Well, they are, and I know many people who said, oh, they're going to go to China, but they can't do the things in China that they've done in America or in Europe, especially not what they. I mean, in America, they got away with all of this because the goyim in America can't tell the difference. America being like multi-ethnic in terms of white people, you know, not just multiracial, but multi-ethnic in terms of white people. You know, if you're in Britain, okay, so you got the English people, you got the English, and then you got, you know, some Scots and Welsh and Irish who are Celtic. Those are relatively narrow gene pools. When you come to the United States, you've got the Greeks, you got the Poles, you got Italians, you got Germans and Swedes and Spaniards and then if you throw Jews in there, they don't look that different. If you have like a much more homogeneous country like England, and then you throw Jews in, it's not quite as easy for them to just pass themselves off. I guess they can. Maybe they do nowadays, but they couldn't do that in China. They couldn't just say, you know, fellow Chinese, the way they say fellow white people in America.
No. And we're talking about England, then you had, you know, Starmer visiting Trump again. You know, these people and the Europeans and Starmer, they really love to be having their summits. I don't know how many summits they've had now about Ukraine. And, you know, this non-existent threat of Russia that Starmer's so serious and preoccupied about. Meanwhile, you know, the country's already been invaded and continues to be invaded by, you know, the global south. Many of them from the Middle East, you know, over the years because of Israel wars. Perhaps someone should inform Douglas Murray, the clown, about that. We have to worry about Vladimir Putin. And in addition, when our economy's really struggling and we're taking money off old people and people who have got disabilities and everything else, we're giving the money to Ukraine, a bottomless pit to fight a non-existent enemy. I mean, you know, they love to be in the world stage, I guess, because they want to protect their globalist interest, because they want to be able to go on to some job which they really care about. And so Russia's the priority for them, I guess. And they just despise their own people. Macron's the same. Germans are the same. Everything they do is pretty much the opposite of what people actually want, you know? You know, so Zelensky turned down, apparently. It was almost like a repeat, like Mercurius was saying, of, you know, it had echoes of the debacle in the White House. You know, he just turned down even the Kellogg plan. And I think Putin recently has been talking about, yeah, I'm open to talks with Zelensky, because he knows that Zelensky is so obtuse and so delusional that he's not going to have, you know, him along with the Europeans are not going to be happy unless they get all the territories back, including Crimea. And so in typical Zelensky delusional fashion, he turned down even the Kellogg option. And so Putin, I think, is, you know, positioning himself to be someone who seems reasonable, knowing that, you know, even though he wouldn't agree to the Kellogg plan, which involves, you know, a coalition of the willing, I believe, you know, peacekeeping troops, they would never accept that. But he's positioned himself in a way where he said, yeah, well, I'm open to talking to the Ukrainians, knowing that he's going to, you know, have no interest in any kind of peace deal. And so it is. You know, I still think the Russians should just get rid of that guy. I'm sick looking at him, sick listening to him. And it's not just Zelensky. It's the whole political structure there in Kiev, and even a lot of the people, I think, in Ukraine. I mean, these people are so entitled. And, you know, they're such an odious bunch of people. They're so entitled. They think they should have all the money, weapons, you know, you name it, give it to us. You know, there's no end to their sense of entitlement, you know? And so I would love to see the Russians just basically shut this down and shut them up, because I'm sick listening to them, you know? They're just completely delusional. And all this being paraded around British parliaments and German congresses and everything else, it's really gone to their heads there over in Ukraine, because these people really think that they are some sort of, I don't know what they think, but they are just totally odious, and the sense of entitlement is just off the chart, you know?
Zelensky himself, he is completely in a corner, and obviously the Ukrainian army can't win. He can't surrender. He can't give up. And you know, he's painted himself in, I guess you'd say he's painted himself into a corner, but the problem is, while he's in his corner, there's no end of these Ukrainian military people dying. I mean, the soldiers are dying. And,
what is the latest in terms of, you know, this whole thing will end a lot quicker if the weapons and the money from the United States stops. Well,
yeah. And will it stop? You know, you get the problem that, that Trump has painted himself. I mean, he presents himself as a tough guy, and you know, America, his base has kind of like an appreciation of tough guys. And even though there's no great love of Zelensky, Trump doesn't seem to be really. Oh, bugger, what happened?
Ask me how I knew. My true love was true. deny you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendovite. I have been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1 year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com. That's furion.com.
If you're an avid reader or lover of history or both, then I invite you to purchase Blood in the Ozarks by Clint Lacy. The book delves into a controversial and often overlooked chapter of the American Civil War, specifically focusing on Union war crimes against Southern sympathizers and civilians in occupied Missouri. It centers on the massacre that took place on Christmas Day, 1863, in Ripley County, Missouri, where Union Major James Wilson's 3rd Missouri State Militia Cavalry attacked a gathering of Confederate supporters, including men, women, and children, and the elderly. Lacey aims to shed light on this event known as the Wilson Massacre by presenting a narrative that challenges the conventional historical accounts by providing evidence from local documents, eyewitnesses, newspaper articles, and military records. The book has been praised for its effort to bring forth a nuanced understanding of the brutality of the Civil War in Missouri, emphasizing the need to acknowledge all aspects of this tumultuous period. Lacey's work is commended for its thorough research and commitment to uncovering obscured truths in American history. And you can purchase it at foothillsmedia.net, foothillsmedia.net. To purchase your copy of Blood in the Ocean.
It is a blue
in the sweet and same old way I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark your kiss will fill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together at last at twilight time. In the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you together. At last at twilight time. Together at last at twilight time.
An appreciation of tough guys. And even though there's no great love of Zelensky, Trump doesn't seem to be really... Oh, bugger, what happened? Doesn't seem to be...
it's not the easiest thing for him to just say, okay, we're throwing in the towel for these guys. You know, he has to go through some sort of, I guess you could call it a charade of acting as if he's a mediator between these two other, these two sides. Because if he's not the mediator, then what is he? America's been a belligerent himself. And then what's he doing? Then Putin's victory becomes America's loss. It's one thing for Putin's victory to be Ukraine's loss, but for Putin's victory to be America's loss, that's tough for Trump. So he's got to present himself as a mediator rather than as a belligerent. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it does make sense, but at the same time, it's ridiculous because, let's not forget that Trump was in office between 2016 and 2020. When Victoria Nuland before that, got this whole thing going with arming the Ukrainians. So he can call Biden war all he wants, but he was president at a time where he could have put a stop to stuff like that. And then, of course, even since then, it's gone on so long now where I think he's going to struggle to say this is Biden's war.
Yeah, when he was president, even though he wasn't enthusiastic about this stuff. He allowed himself to be bullied into being tougher on Russia than anybody. Nobody's been tougher on Russia than Trump, because there was the whole Russia stuff. And instead of really standing up against it, he halfway went along with it, saying, "What do you mean, Russia? What do you mean I'm Putin's puppet? Nobody's been tougher on Putin than Trump."
Yeah, and I give them javelins. I mean, which is it, Donald? Biden's war, or you give them javelins, and and you turn the blind eye to arming the Ukrainians to the teeth? For as I say, that war didn't start in 2022.
Yeah. Well,
very frustrating. It's all over the place all the time.
Having said that, still. If you're looking at the Trump administration, the one hopeful area where something significant and good could happen would be if he finally backs out of this. There is a prospect that he would finally back out. When you look at everything else, like all the other things that are going on, the immigration, it doesn't really seem like – the only people who are getting deported are people who are complaining about Israel. Big victory there. Everything else seems to be a...
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.